بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are tuned into Merkaz Sahaba Online and it's time for our Bliss of Marriage program. It's 9 minutes past 11 a.m. Central African time, the 25th of Shaban 1440. And if you have any questions, you can send us a message on 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. I'm your host, Yusuf Ali. And more importantly, answering the questions once again is the Honorable and esteemed Mufti A.K. Hussein Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Brother Yusuf Ali. Jazakallahu khairan. And may Almighty Allah accept all of us, inshallah, and spare us for the Mubarak, blessed month of Ramadan. And inshallah, that we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, the first question waiting for us in the program goes as follows. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. What is the purpose of marriage?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we must realize that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala made human being the masterpiece of his creation. If we study the animals, today they are mating this one, tomorrow some other one, and therefore they don't have to worry about lineage or anything of that sort. But human being, Almighty Allah gave him or her the greatest intelligence, intellect, and therefore Islam promotes a pure and a chaste society, and Islam wants that we must protect our lineage. So how are we going to protect our lineage? So through the institution of nikah and marriage. Therefore, this institution is so sacred and holy, it will continue even in the year after. The difference is in this world, I, you, whoever, they perform the nikah and the marriage ceremony, but they, Almighty Allah Himself, will solemnize the marriage and the ceremony. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. So Almighty Allah will perform the nikah with the damsels, or the beautiful damsels of Jannah. So that is number one. Then number two, we find that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam was in Jannah and paradise, but no wife, no life. But there was no maximum pleasure because there was no wife. So Almighty Allah created his wife, Sayyida Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the nikah was performed by Almighty Allah Jalla wala. They loved as husband and wife. And then we see, Ya Bani Adam, O progeny, O children of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, in various places of the Noble Quran. So it is the sunnah and the manner and method of all the Anbiya and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam. The only Nabi and messenger that did not get married was Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, John, they call him in English. So we say Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, and remember even Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, when he returns, then he will get married, he will have children, and their name will be Ahmad, Muhammad, and Musa. So remember, the name of Nabi Isa alayhi salam children will be Muhammad and Musa. So it if you can see it in Umdatul Qari, the commentary of Bukhari Sharif, and various other compilations. So from here we see that that is the norm among the Anbiya and messengers alayhi salam. And procreation, how will human being have children and so forth? One way is you leave everybody to do everything, like the satanic democratic dispensations today that promote adultery, fornication, and all other haram activities like gay and so forth. So that is a recipe for disaster. You will see majority of the children will become bees and illegitimate, like you can see today in some countries. So there's a large population of bees and illegitimate children. So forget about the dynamic society when you have this type of situation. It can never happen because it's something unnatural. So therefore, remember, Islam wants a pure, a chaste, a stable society. And this is how the pure, chaste, stable society will flourish, when you have the institution of nikah. And anything that breaks that, for example, that is fornication, adultery, gay, remember, must be severely punished. And Islam says for fornication, for both parties, 100 lashes in public. And for adultery, remember, the capital punishment, the death penalty. And similarly for the gays, so in the Islamic law is the death penalty. So that is what Islam stands for.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Salaam Alaikum, Mufti Saab. If you have given one talaq, can you remarry your wife after her iddah period, or does she first have to remarry someone else?
When a person has given his wife one talaq or two talaqs, then you must remember, then during the iddat, he can take her back without renewing the marriage. Even in two talaq, he can take her back without renewing the marriage if he takes her back during the iddah. This is enshrined in the Noble Quran, Surah 2, verses 228, 229, 230. Almighty Allah speaks of these issues. At-talaqu marratan, fa imsakum bima'rufin aw tasrihum bi-ihsan. So if you gave one or two talaq, then you can take her back during the iddat. Your intention must be to treat her with love, justice, and equity. Not you take her back to cause her harm. Wala tumsiku hunna dirara lita'tadu. That is haram, the Quran Kareem states. So if the iddat is expired and you, the husband, issued one or two talaqs only, only after the iddat has expired, now the two of you want to reconcile, then a new and a fresh nikah must be performed. That's the only way you can reconcile. After one or two talaqs, there's no need for her to marry anybody else. You can marry her. But after one talaq, now you married her or you took her back. So in future, you only possess two talaqs. You gave her two divorces and now you took her back during the iddat or after the iddat with the new nikah and marriage. For future purposes, you only have one talaq left. So these are the rulings and fatwa that you need to understand properly and thoroughly.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Salaamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. What happens if a parent demands that the son marry a certain woman but the son does not want to? What is the ruling?
In a case like that, the parents cannot impose upon the son or even the daughter when the daughter is aqila, baligha, sane and mature. That is Islam. That Islam says that you must look at the welfare and happiness of your son or daughter. You can't be looking at your own selfish interests and ulterior motives. So the son is 18, 20, 25, 30 years old. He does not want to marry in a certain family, the father's family or mother's family, but the parents are imposing it upon him. If he does not marry there, remember, there will not be any sin upon him, because in these type of issues, the parents, it's very important to take the blessings of our parents, but it does not mean that they impose upon you that which this is a lifelong partnership, a lifelong, we must remember, understanding. So therefore, in a case like this, we must remember that it is compulsory for parents to make mashura and consult with their sons and daughters and not just make unilateral decisions. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Salaam Alaikum, Mufti Saab. After marriage, can a woman continue her education and pursue a career?
We must remember that if you are speaking about now the lady wants to pursue her career and she has to interact with males, she has to wear a particular type of uniform and all that. So obviously that is not permissible before marriage and nor after marriage. So we need to be clear, what do we mean by that? So our advice will be that she must make mashura and consult her husband, and if she can do work from home, and that is the best, in that way there your honor, your dignity, everything will be respected. But you must remember that if your aim is this, that you just want to make money and infringe upon the Sharia, as happened today, so today the barakah and blessings has left most of the homes. You take our forefathers, when they had one home, one house, one shop, and the whole family lived together, subhanallah, the money they earned was less. But there was muhabbat, there was love, there was unity, because everything was halal. Today the husband is working, the wife is working, the daughter is working, and they all at one another's throats. Because you must remember, everybody wants independence, everybody wants, you must remember, to be in charge and so forth. So Islam does not allow that. Islam says you are compromising yourself, and therefore for the husband to refuse you that will also be correct. So in most instances we will say it's not acceptable.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. For who should we vote?
Remember that voting, there are three different verdicts and three different issues. Some ulama and scholars, we speaking in the South African context, are of the opinion that because next week, Wednesday, is voting day here in South Africa, and today is a public holiday, next week also will be a public holiday on Wednesday next week. Nevertheless, some ulama of the opinion that is not even permissible to vote. I tell you that if you don't vote at for any party, remember Islamically that there is no sin upon you. Allah will not question you, why didn't you vote? So we must be clear on all these issues. As I always say, we don't have to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician. So that is our stance on that. Next one, if you insist you want to vote, then you must remember that make istikhara, and remember that you vote. How are you going to make istikhara? That you say, Allahumma khir li wakhtar li. Oh Almighty Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me. So in a case like that, when you say this, Allahumma khir li wakhtar li. So Ya Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me. Whatever comes in your heart, this is how Islam teaches us to make decisions. And the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So therefore we must remember that is what Islam will tell you whenever you want to make decisions. However, as guidelines, this is my personal advice to you, that we all know there is one newspaper and all of you should try and read it once in a while. It's called the Mail and Guardian, and it comes out once a week. So now if you look at the latest one, you will see, I'm just paraphrasing the heading, but it comes out on Fridays and so forth, so for the week, you know. So it tells us that the politics of South Africa has killed the economy. And remember, no political party has the real solution to solve this problem. Now, if you look at South Africa, 25 years democracy, but you look at the looting, the corruption, it must be some type of record. And the best part is hardly anybody gets prosecuted. But you find cadre deployment, you find corrupted people becoming ministers, and you see that we have become the laughing stock in many parts of the world. So this is a reality. Unless you are blind, then it's a different issue. Then you have other parties who are 100% pro-apartheid Israel. So you need to think about this. Then you have other parties, remember, that they will not speak. They will speak about, you know, you must invade the land and so many other issues and so forth. So my advice to you, think properly if you're going to vote. If you don't vote, there's no sin upon you Islamically. The choice is yours.
Shukran for that. Mufti Saab, the next question. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. We have got the news that Ibrahim Gangat, Mufti Saab's old-time colleague, is critically ill. Is there any special dua that we can make?
Yes, I'm very happy that you asked that question, because this morning, in fact from last night, I was trying to get all of the family, but it was a very difficult time and trying time for the family. And this morning I managed to make contact with our brother Ibrahim Bhai Gangad's wife and spoke to her and asked her everything. And yes, Ibrahim Bhai, our dear colleague, his condition is critical now. So we beg the Ummah to make dua for him and appeal to the Ummah. The dua we should be making at this juncture is, Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran lahu fa ahyihi. O Almighty Allah, his life is better for him, then grant him life. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayran lahu fa tawaffahu. And Ya Allah, if death is better, then give him death. That is because I asked Appa, and she said that the doctor said they can't do anything. And remember, it is a case of waiting and taking it not day by day, but hour by hour. So he has cancer in his liver, and I went to visit him also few weeks ago, and we spent half an hour, 45 minutes together. His mother is well in her 80s and above 80, so Almighty Allah make it easy for Ibrahim Bhai's mother, his wife, his three daughters. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala shower him with his special mercy. Those of us who know Ibrahim Bhai, we know that he was a very, very courageous person, but Almighty Allah knows best, and inshallah, whatever is khair and best for him, we make dua, we give our charity as well for all those brothers, sisters who are ill. Remember, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when you have your family members or your friends that are really ill, then what you should do is, the hadith is mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, Da'u mardakum bisadaqah, that give out charity on their behalf. So that is what we should do. We make dua, we give out charity. But whatever happens, remember, is the decree of Almighty Allah. And we are Muslims, so we are ridha bil qada. The decree of Almighty Allah we have to accept, and we do not question. Therefore, when terrible news comes our way, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala make it easy. And I told Appa, whatever we can do, we announced it several times on the radio. I announced it in the various masajid, in our Jami Masjid, in the Sufi Masjid. So may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala make it easy for Ibrahim Bhai, his wife, children, and mother especially.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Salaamu Alaikum. A lady has a 16-year-old daughter and she was divorced. She then remarried. Can the daughter stay alone with a new husband while she is at work? They don't practice hijab or parda. Please advise.
We must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has addressed this very issue in the Noble Quran in Surah 4, verse number 23. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us that now there is a lady, and that lady has a daughter, and that lady's husband passed away, or he, that husband, ex-husband now, he divorced her, and this lady has a daughter. In this case and scenario, the daughter is 16 years old. So when he, this new husband, let's call him, when he consummates the marriage with this lady, this young girl's mother, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُم مِّن نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِ دَخَلْتُم بِهِنْ. So once he has consummated the marriage between himself and his wife, so this girl's mother, so remember, the law of hijab will then fall away. But we must know the reality, which is called fiqhul waqi as well, and that is, in our society today, Western countries, Muslim countries, so many problems. So if there is fear for the honor, dignity of this young lady, 16 years old, and she is alone with the stepfather, the fatwa will be there's no hijab between them. But remember, if there is scope and fear of fitna, hanky-panky business, then definitely it's not permissible for them to be alone. So therefore, we need to exercise caution, especially nowadays, because nowadays we know so many unsavory events and episodes are taking place within the Muslim homes of these type of things. Only Almighty Allah protect us.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The clock just ticked over 30 minutes past 11 a.m. Central African time. We're going to go for a break. You can continue to send us your messages and questions on 084-786-3132.
To that yearning hearts that addicted to the melodious recitation of the Holy Quran during Ramadan in the Haram of Makkah and Medina, pack your bags and call Malik Travel for the most affordable Ramadan packages from as little as 17,999 all-inclusive, or relive your last experience of the ultimate hospitality of the Medinites during the last 10 days of Ramadan from 10,999 per person. Call Malik Travel now on 031-207-8996. For these and other Umrah combo packages visiting Dubai, Egypt, Turkey and Jerusalem, call Malik Travel on 031-207-8996.
For the latest news and what's happening around the world, tune in to News Hour on Merkez Sahaba Online.
I only take questions from people who haven't been named the Mampara of the Month.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
It's either he is so stupid.
Join Alpha Sinkosi as he keeps his finger on the pulse of what's happening around the globe.
Yeah, it was very tough, you know, but I guess the main point of it is that now, inshallah, you know, we're like born again, you know.
Insan bada min awluk deed.
We have fulfilled what God commands, and we are very glad.
From Saturday to Thursday, 12 to 1 p.m., only on Merkez Sahaba Online, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
At Speco, we're all about bringing family and friends together over meals made with love and our five delicious rice variants. Our rice can be used in the tastiest recipes and most innovative ideas to feed your love of all things delicious. Whether you're a mom, an entertainer, a caterer, or just a lover of food, we believe that cooking is a wonderful, creative way of expressing love for your family and friends. That's why with Speco, love is always the secret ingredient. Speco rice can be found at major retail outlets or that small grocery shop around the corner. To find out more about introducing this special ingredient into your home, call us on 0800-212-360 or visit us on www.specorice.co.za.
So she comes there with her husband, and I can read the pulse because I'm as a doctor, man. I can read the heartbeat. This heartbeat is not going like this. The heartbeat's supposed to go. The heart got boom, boom, boom. She can fall. Because my heart, you can feel. When someone comes to me, I can really feel. There's something not right here. And so the lady don't want to talk. She's got tissues. And the guy said, my bro, I could talk here. Yeah. Nice telling me, look here, cheated. And this is not the first time. I'm a good listener. I'm hearing to him. So I said, my bra, Mufti Eke always say, no wife, no life. The home ain't no home when you're alone, my bro. Yeah, it's not lekker. You men are spoiled by choice. Even you should buy, say, Marcus, double decker, my bro. Hele vrouwens kyk lekker achter hele peri-peri service. Say alhamdulillah for hele vrouwens. Say alhamdulillah. Tonight you're gonna go home and say, my baby, this morning I invite me as guest also. Nankatai, Harunche bhai, Dichai, Acha, Blacha, Jalap Jambos, the whole works.
Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
28 minutes to 12 p.m. Central African time. You tune in to Merkez Sahaba Online. And we're taking your questions on the bliss of marriage. 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. This includes you, the listeners of Sirius FM. Moving back to our questions now, Mufti Saab. The question that's waiting for us goes as follows. Assalamu alaikum. What is the Cape Accord as my wife is arguing with me?
Remember that if you go back in our history, then you will find that in Amman is the capital of Jordan, Urdun as it's known. So there they invited hundreds of scholars. And obviously you must understand how politics works in Muslim countries and Arab countries. So in majority of the countries, they will have ulama who are aligned to the government, and obviously to secure their post, that they want to be the Mufti or the Grand Mufti, or they want to be the Sheikh and the advisor to the government. So they toe the line of their respective governments. And this is the real truth. I mean, there's no need to hide all these issues. And they are very, very well paid when they are employed by their respective governments. So nevertheless, in the year 2005, they had this big conference, and then there they decided that the people who belong to certain groups and so forth, they are Muslim. But all this got nothing to do with Islam. It is more to do with their politics and so forth. So yeah, in South Africa, what had happened was that some brothers thought that, you know, we need a Cape Accord. And then last year, they wanted the Muslim Ummah to speak again, to deliberate on it and accept it and so forth. So we condemned it. Few other ulama, not many, few other ulama condemned it. And the main reason of that was they wanted to include the Shias and to say that the Shias are Muslim. I ask you, O esteemed listener of Sirius FM and of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that you must not be fooled. If people are swearing, cursing, abusing, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu an, Sayyidina Usman Zunnurain radiallahu an, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anhumah, the honorable spouses and wives of Nabi alayhi salam, do you ever think that such people are Muslim? Wallahi, I say wallahi, I take an oath on Allah, they're out of the fold of Islam, although they can scream and make propaganda as much as they want to. So that is what we stood for. And lo and behold, all this, or let me rephrase that, many of those who were the proponents and the people that were really in favor and the people who were, you know, in the front of this year, Allah Jalla Wala, one by one, is disgracing them, humiliating them everywhere. So this is the system of Almighty Allah. Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79. فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever mocks the Sahaba, whoever criticizes Sahaba, and the beloved students of all of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Jalla Wala states, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Allah will mock them, Allah will humiliate them, Allah will disgrace them. This is in the world. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them in the year after is a horrible, terrible punishment. Surah 9, verse 79. Hence you need to understand, when you say you belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then it means we believe in the Quran Sharif, and we believe in the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We accept every Sahabi and companion and student of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be adil and just, and Allah gave all of them glad tidings of Jannah. And this is enshrined in a noble Quran, وَكُلَّوْ وَأَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says that all of them, Almighty Allah has promised them Jannah. So when Almighty Allah has promised them Jannah, who are we that we castigate and criticize them? Surah 57 verse 10. So this is what the Shias have done. And their hatred for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is so intense. The Iranian regime have built a shrine for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His name was Fayrouz, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, fire worshipper. And remember what they did? That they built a mazar and a shrine for him, which I saw myself when I visited Iran in 2013. So in Kashan. So therefore, that shows that how they hate the companions, Amir-e-Muawiyah, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, all these are illustrious great companions. Openly they declare them as non-Muslims and curse them. So that's one issue. Second issue, Khomeini, the non-Muslim himself, narrates and writes, which is a book which I have, Tawdihul Masail. In there he writes, you must make and you can make muta for 1 hour. So he's promoting prostitution for 1 hour. All the Shias and sympathizers of the Shias, I ask them, are you prepared to give your daughter to somebody for 1 hour? So how can you call such people Muslim? So ye to ghar ke chor hai, they are the enemies of Islam from within. And third one, you must remember that they are the people, not only now, but if you go and see the history. If you know the history of Iran, I just give you one example. Iran was a Muslim country from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time. In Sayyidina Umar's time, in his rule, it became a Sunni Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah country. Gregorian calendar till the year 1500. Then Ismail Safavi came. He used the Tasawwuf and Sufism as his weapon. And then when he built a big, large amount of followers, that was the time they showed their true colors. And they slaughtered and murdered the Sunnis and the ulama as well. So you must remember, till today Tehran does not have a masjid, and the only capital of supposed to be Muslim country, that does not have a true proper masjid for us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They have certain houses and places which are musallas and so on, not a masjid. So it shows their intense hatred for the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Therefore, without fear and any apology, we rule that Shias are out of the fold of Islam. And that is what the Cape Accord wanted to do, that because of their agenda, ulterior motive, and alhamdulillah, with the help of senior ulama, first and foremost, with the help of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, with the help of some senior ulama, few ulama only stood up. Majority were silent as normal. So they showed their true colors, the fence-sitters. So you must remember, Almighty Allah torpedoed it and is disgracing them one by one. So this is the system of Almighty Allah. May Almighty Allah keep us with the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we live with that, and we die according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah's creed, and that is our belief.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. My sister wants to get married to a Christian who will embrace Islam, but wants to have the ceremony in a church as well.
Remember that any Muslim lady who wants to marry a non-Muslim male and he remains a non-Muslim, I'm giving you different scenarios so you understand it properly and thoroughly. Because all this nowadays in our democratic South Africa and other parts of the world also seems to be gathering some form of momentum, interfaith and all this. I'll discuss all these issues one by one. So if a Muslim lady wants to marry a non-Muslim male, and irrespective of which faith he belongs to, Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, and Buddhism, or atheism, any faith, any cult, so she is out of the fold of Islam because she is considering it permissible, she's happy about it, and so forth. Almighty Allah has mentioned this in Surah 60, Surah Mumtahina, verse 10. La hunna hillu lahum wa la hum yahilluna lahun. They, the Muslim ladies and females, are not halal for any non-Muslim male. And no non-Muslim male is halal and permissible for a Muslim lady. So that is the first scenario. Second one is the Muslim male today, he wants to marry non-Muslim lady. So remember that also is haram and not permissible. Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 2 to 1. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ. You, the Muslim man, cannot marry the non-Muslim lady, the mushrika, and so forth. So idol worshippers or whatever else, people who ascribe somebody something to Almighty Allah. So if you get married, consider it halal and permissible. That person goes out of the fold of Islam. Third scenario, like the one posed in the question, somebody's daughter, sister, niece, whatever, she wants to marry a non-Muslim, But then non-Muslim male says he will embrace Islam. But because he's not embracing Islam 100%, so he also tells this Muslim wife, supposed to be his wife, that no, we will have like two ceremonies. One we can have in the masjid, in the mosque, and one we will have in the church or in the temple or where have you. So remember, then that also is totally haram and not permissible. And you, that lady who does that, so you must remember, you also go out of the fold of Islam. You see what happens nowadays. We know what happened recently as well. That I was supposed to be a Muslim lady, got married. You must remember, to a person who was Hindu, embraced Islam, and then they went around the fire 7 times and so forth, and all the parents encouraged it. All this are murtad, finished. That is the Islamic law. We don't have to apologize to anybody. We don't have to conceal the truth and curry favor with anybody. So we must remember in this case here, if you go ahead with this and say the nikah will be performed, and thereafter you go to the church and so forth, so remember then you are murtad out of the fold of Islam, and your parents, if they are encouraging you in all this, then they also out of the fold of Islam. So remember, today people say that there are over 7 billion people on this earth, and Muslims are 1.5-2 billion. Remember, that's a fairy tale, you understood. That is, you counting every Shia, every Qadiani, every Aga Khani, and still stretching the figures. Since when Aga Khanis and Qadianis and Ahmadis and Shias and all of them are Muslim? So since when Murtads are Muslim? So you must be clear, today, if you look properly, then you will find many of these people got nothing to do with Islam. They just there to show their name is Muslim and so forth. So therefore, people, our daughters, our sisters, who want, or whoever, Muslim male also, if they want double ceremony, one in the masjid and one in the church, one in the temple, one in the synagogue, whatever, such people are out of the fold of Islam, ka'in and mankan, irrespective who it is, male or female. So that is the fatwa, and there's no two opinion on this issue. Remember, we need to safeguard our iman and Islam.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Salaam Alaikum, Mufti Saab. I'm interested in this teacher who is looking to get married, but recently I see him staring at another girl and looking at her again and again. I mean, she's quite forward and her clothes are not the best, and it confuses me. As he's an Islamic teacher and a man of God, I know he's single, but to stare at women or look at them again and again, I find it wrong, as we have to lower our gaze and guard our modesty. I would expect someone like this to know more and better. Am I being too judgmental, or does he need to fix up? I know it's human to err.
Okay, sister, first and foremost, if I understood the question correctly, it seems that you are in a class situation where this teacher is staring at you. So since when is it permissible for you to go to such a class where there's no parda, no hijab, no nothing, and then the male teacher is staring at the girls and so forth? So remember, all this is haram. The problem today is Islam is used just to make money. That's the bottom line. So Islam is commercialized. They will say this is school, this madrasa, this Islamic university. So all this where Islam is used. But openly, you can see that the laws of Islam are trampled upon. You are saying that this teacher had his eyes for you. Now suddenly another girl came and now his eyes are on her. So what is he doing? So first of all, how can you have a class situation like that where the Muslim teacher is supposed to be teaching you the girls, and then you find that there is, you know, I always give the example, you put butter next to the stove, something will happen. So it must melt. So similarly, yeah, as well, when you put male and female who are strangers, then something is going to happen. So in Islam, first of all, both parties are wrong. Not only he He, Most Almighty Allah, teaches us in Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 30-31, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men that they must lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and they must protect their private part. Then similarly for the females, he is a teacher, he may be a learned man, so obviously he should lead by example. So he is guilty according to the way you pose the question. But I'm asking you, sister, you looking at him, and every time he's looking here and there, it seems like you are jotting down how many times he looked at you, how many times he's looking at the other girl. So you also are guilty then. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. The believing women must also lower their gazes and protect their private parts. There is nothing about judgmental and so forth. In Islam, right is right and wrong is wrong. Al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. My advice to you, sister, best for you. Therefore, I'm saying this many, many times. That today, leave all these schools and so forth, and the best is you study homeschooling and you want to do tertiary education, then you study, especially for our daughters and sisters, then you study via correspondence. It is not worth it. You must remember you lose your shame, you lose your haya, sometimes they lose their virginity, and sometimes they lose their Islam totally. And we know of examples, it's not something we are taking out from our thumb or somewhere. So we know of all this because every day I receive over 100 questions per day from people for Allah's help and mercy. So we know what is happening. So therefore, as a brother, as an elder, I'm giving you this advice. It is in your interest before some other things happen that will really tarnish your reputation and your family's reputation. It's best for you to leave these type of institutions.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. If I'm engaged to a girl, is it permissible for me to make qurbani on her behalf?
Remember this, when you are engaged to the girl, she's still a haram for you. You cannot be talking to her, you cannot be touching her, you cannot be dating her, smooching her. All that is haram. She is a total stranger to you. What you want to make qurbani for her? So you must remember, if you are married to her and then you want to pay the fitra, sadaqatul fitr, now in Ramadan, for example, or the next Eid, Eid al-Adha will come, then you want to make qurbani, you inform her, take a permission, then it's fine. But what you are doing now is perpetuating the hanky-panky business. The shaitan is getting a hold of you and her. زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The shaitan comes and he tells them, come, you do some good deeds. So now they are chatting on the WhatsApp. She says, very good idea. Last week, I give you an example how it works. Last week, one lady wrote to me an email. And she said, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, but anyway, I'm giving you the whole story. And she says she was in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, and what have you. Single, and she eloped with some person there, some Arab brother. And then they came in their hearts and minds, come we do some charity. So charity, let's go give some iftar to the sa'imin. So now he went and gave to the men, taking selfies and pictures. She went and she gave. So now they feel they're doing good. And when the time comes after Salat, they meet, and then one thing leads to another. So now she knows her guilty conscience is eating her up. So she sent me the whole detail and so forth. Right in Makkah Mukarramah. Do you know what is Makkah and Haram? Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah is the Haram Sharif. Mustafa sallallahu, Quran Kareem states, وَمَنْ يُرِيدِ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِذُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. In the Haram area, just intention of vices and evil and sin, Allah says, I will unleash such a punishment for you that is a painful, horrible punishment. So my brother, you are getting fooled by the shaitan by thinking you're doing a good deed. It is a satanic action that you want to do, make qurbani for your wife, for your girlfriend and your fiancé and all these type of things, not permissible.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through goes as follows. Salaamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. What is the ruling of a first cousin marriage?
We must remember that in Islam, we are bound by the Quran Sharif. We are bound by the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are commanded in the noble Quran, Surah 9, verse 100, to follow the example of the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the first and the foremost amongst them. So that is what the Quran Sharif is teaching us. Today, some doctors, some professionals, Allah forbid, they totally discourage a person must marry his first cousin and so forth, and they terrorize them and say your children will be abnormal, and this is what will you say regarding Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ladli, most beloved daughter, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, during Ramadan, in the second year of the Hijrah, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed her nikah. Open Musannaf Abdul Razak for the details. And is a hadith kitab. And she, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, was 15 years, 5 months old when this nikah took place. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and his father, Abu Talib, he died a non-Muslim, dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire as mentioned in Bukhari regarding Abu Talib. And you must remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, so Abdullah are brothers. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving his beloved daughter in marriage to his uncle's son. So that is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and so what will you say in that case there? So therefore we refute and reject all this. We must remember that when we become negative, then things become negative. We must always remain positive in the mercy of Almighty Allah and accept and embrace the teachings of the Quran Sharif and the teachings of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any reservation, and that is Iman and Islam.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Are females allowed to pierce their navels?
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informed us in the Noble Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse 119, that Almighty Allah tells us when the shaitan, Iblis, was expelled from Jannah, then what did he do? That remember that he gave, you understand, he took various oaths. Almighty Allah expelled him, gave him time, go do whatever you want to. And he said, وَلَا أَمُرَنَّهُمْ I will command them. فَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ And then they will change the creation of Almighty Allah. So this is how they change. Today the Ummah, Muslims, instead of influencing the lives of others, they get influenced by others. They think the West is the best. They think white is right. And they think that the Western culture is the best. Allah forbid. Remember, our message is Islam is the best. And we need to share that message with the rest. So that is our message to humanity. And remember, we need not be apologetic or suffer from an inferiority complex. That is no place in Islam. Wa antumul a'laun in kuntum mu'mineen. You are the best and superior, provided that you have true iman. Last question, Brother Yusuf Ali, inshallah.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. Just before we end the program, a final question. Mufti Saab, it goes as follows. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab. Can my wife divorce me because I did not disclose to her before marriage that I have anxiety?
Remember, the wife can utter talaq 100 times, 1,000 times, it means nothing, and the marriage will still be valid. In Islam, the only person who can give divorce and talaq is the husband. Biyadihi uqdatun nikah. In his hand, in his control, power, authority is the knot of and the marriage, the bond of marriage. So therefore, he can issue talaq. Yes, In one circumstance, we find if the fawizu talaq took place, you, the husband, said in an agreement with your wife that you are allowing her, delegating her the power of attorney, that she can divorce herself, that is by mutual agreement, amicable agreement, but that has not happened yet. So now for the wife to say she's divorcing you, she can say it 100 times, your marriage is still valid. And for your anxiety, brother, read La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin abundantly, insha'Allah. Okay, we have just over a minute left. Let me announce to you our programs, insha'Allah, for today. So now at 12 o'clock, insha'Allah, will be the news. And 12 to 1 will be our brother Alphus Nkosi. And that will be the current affairs. 1 o'clock, Adhan for Zohar, insha'Allah. And then our 5 past 1 to half past 1, Tafsir. We will start with Surah, chapter 61, Surah Surf today. And then from half past 1 to 2 will be from the archives, Surah Yunus, inshallah. 2 to 4 will be Sheikh Zakaria in the mercy of Allah. 4 o'clock to Maghrib time in Durban, inshallah, will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. Thereafter, the surahs will be read. And then 7 to 8, inshallah, our brother Al-Amin Templeton, inshallah. Then 8 to 9 tonight, inshallah, will be the medical file with Dr. Yusuf Wahid. So, inshallah, you can listen to that. And thereafter, the repeat of the Q&A. And those of you who want the Markaz Sahaba decoders, if you want it in the Durban area, the Ansar bookshop is open today also. You can go there and purchase your Markaz Sahaba decoder and receiver, $6.99 per decoder, and IG Hussein shop. So they also have stocks there in Overport. You can contact them and ask them as well. And here you contact our brother Junaid Khan in the Johannesburg region, Gauteng region, 084-786-3132, and inshallah that you contact brother Junaid, and in that way he will do your installation free of charge for you as well. Make dua for us and the ummah and for our brother Ibrahim Gangat as well. Assalamu Jazakallah khair, brother Yusuf Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us to the end of the program. We say jazakallahu khair for tuning in. If you want the podcast of the show, www.markazsahaba.com, inshallah. If you know anybody that missed it and wants to listen, go on to the Markaz Sahaba website and share it to whom you want. But for now, from myself, Yusuf Ali and Mufti AK Hussein, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next, the 12 o'clock news.